Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Before I reintroduce our panel, let me just say, as you've been hearing announcements, well, we've got our Spiritual Heritage Tours planned for 2018. If you want to go on one of those, there's we go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown and explore early American history and the Christian influence there. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation leads the way, and he gives talks at all the places, talks about the people, the places, the events, and does so from a accurate American history perspective, but also gives a biblical perspective on that. And then we go to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington, as a separate trip. Now, if you want to do, these are in June and September. If you want to do both, you can sign up for both, and all you got to do is get to the airport, Reagan Airport in D.C., Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock, get on the bus, and you're taken care of for a whole week. So that's the easiest thing to do if you want to go and do both tours. You can do one or the other, either. You can just do the Washington part of it if you'd like to do that. So those are in June and September. The June one's halfway full already. We'll be full by February sometime, I'm sure. That's the way it worked last year. So if you want to go with us, you want to read about this, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com is the website, spiritualheritagetours.com. If you want a brochure sent to you in the mail, you can call us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S. And when you get a connection, punch 5 on your phone, and so option 5. Don't punch your phone too hard. I mean, we don't want to like tear your phone up over this thing. It's just a brochure, okay? So don't call when you're angry. just touch 5 on your phone after you call 800-FAMILIES, and you can leave your name and your address there, and we will mail you a brochure. But the brochure has the same thing on it that the website has, so. www.spiritualheritagetours.com. We have a lot of fun. The people who come with us on these tours are just like you, for the most part. They're listeners to AFR, supporters of American Family Association. So we're all of like mind and friendly Christian folks from around the country, and we just have a very enjoyable tours. So we'd love for you to come with us if you haven't been on one of those already. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Walker, we're still live video streaming on Facebook.
We are. We have a lot of people on the show now. Some folks are asking about Brian Fisher, an update on Brian Fisher, and I'll just point you to the Focal Point Facebook page, That's Brian Fisher's show page, and you can read the latest on Brian there. He's posted an update there, and he'll be back in studio on Monday.
Yeah, of course, Brian had cancer. And had to deal with that. They got rid of the cancer. This is, 6 months ago or so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know if you've ever known somebody get sick, then you got to deal with the medicine.
Radiation.
Radiation. I mean, it's just all kind of complications that can arise from the treatment itself. Mm-hmm. And Brian's been dealing with that. It's caused him some fatigue and such. So, you know, Brian does 2 hours a day on Focal Point himself, and that takes a lot of energy, physical energy to do, as well as you've got to have mental clarity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oftentimes you notice Tim, he doesn't have mental clarity. That's why Tim's smart enough to get 3 other people on the show who can cover for him when he doesn't have mental clarity. But for Brian Fisher on Focal Point, it's all Brian. So you can imagine, that's why I have such respect for Brian's talents and his gifts in what he does. So pray for Brian. He told me he's expecting to be back on his show on Monday. So let's pray towards that end. But you're saying you can, if folks want to read a statement from Brian himself about this whole situation, they can go where?
To Focal Point Facebook page. That's the name of his show, Focal Point on Facebook.
Okay. Walker, Ray, and joining me today, and Steve Jordahl is in now. Fred Jackson has gone back to his post, and Steve is with us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim. I was listening anxiously, well, not anxiously, but interestingly to your spiritual heritage tours. If I recall correctly, this is the first time you'll be able to visit the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. as well, right?
Yeah, we'll have some free time on Saturday afternoon, and we will take people there and let them go through the Museum of the Bible, which is just recently opened. So I haven't even been there yet.
No, I'm looking forward to going the next time I'm in D.C.
Yeah. Now, we were talking before the break about the big story about the Moody Bible Institute.
Yeah, there's been a shakeup at Moody Bible Institute. Yesterday, the Board of Trustees met, and as a result of that meeting, President Paul Nyquist, along with Operating Officer Steve Mock and Provost Dr. Janais Venugopal, and forgive me, Doctor, if I've mispronounced your name, but they are no longer associated with Moody. They've been let go. Actually, Dr. Venugopal has retired. It stems from allegations, and at this point they are allegations of financial mismanagement, of theological drift, and various things like that. And I know, Ray, you're close to Moody Bible Institute. You probably have your finger on the pulse of this better than even I do. So what is your understanding of what went on yesterday at that meeting?
Well, number one, to put it in context, Moody Bible Institute was founded, named after ultimately the great evangelist D.L. Moody 132 years ago. Without any question, it's the most important Bible Institute in America, and therefore the most important and influential, historically influential Bible Institute in the world. And it has, for all these years, been rock solid on the Bible, rock solid on the gospel, rock solid on evangelism and world missions, real heart for the cities of the world. And I mean, the list of great people who've come out of Moody is just, it just goes on and on and on. And what happened yesterday was, as far as I know, I don't think there's any parallel in the history of Moody Bible Institute, that the board unanimously asked for and received the resignation of the president, Paul Nyquist, chief operating officer, and then the other fellow, the provost, who went into retirement. And they said, the board was saying, there needs to be a new direction at the Bible Institute. And I really take that as meaning we've got to be more open, we've got to be more transparent in the way we handle things, because that's part of the criticism. But I think also, Steve, to get to the fine point of it, they want to make sure it's the board's job to make sure that things are being done theologically, biblically, that are true to the history of Moody Bible Institute, so that it does not, as so many other institutions have done, so that it does not drift away. So I think there's a story, and the finances are underneath this, and I mean, there's a lot of things that goes into this, but the board is putting a marker down and saying, we want Moody to remain faithful to the evangelical understanding of the gospel of Christ. And so it was a huge thing that the board did yesterday, and has thrown the friends of Moody, I mean, everywhere on Facebook and Twitter, you can see people are very concerned and are praying. I mean, the school song is, God bless the school that D.L. Moody founded. Long may it stand when by foes of truth surrounded. So the board did a courageous thing, and I think there's probably more to come in terms of making sure Moody stays strong into the next generation.
This all came to light when one of their talk hosts on the Moody Radio Network, she has a blog, her name is Julie Royce, and she made some allegations let's unpack, Ray, if we can, a little bit of the theological drift that she alleges. And Moody has responded to this. And they have said that they are looking into it. They have said that the allegations as presented by Ms. Royce are one-sided, basically. They're saying that that's not the whole entirety of the story, but that the board is looking into the allegations. But there were charges that some of their professors were questioning the inerrancy of Scripture, There was some, or at least one professor who had voiced support for Planned Parenthood on staff. That, to my knowledge, is the extent of the theological issues, although they're serious enough if you have a institution that's founded on the inerrancy of Scripture. Those are serious charges. Are you aware of any of those issues, Ray?
There is a document out there, hasn't been released yet, written evidently by one of the strong conservatives. And Moody fundamentally is very, very conservative. It's very much in the evangelical camp. But if there is somebody on the faculty who is questioning in the inerrancy of the Bible, they better get their resume ready, because they're going to be found out, and they're going to have to go, because the constituency of the Bible Institute, Steve, is very conservative. The people who give the money to keep it in business is very conservative, and they're not going to stand for having professors who truly don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, because this is, frankly, it's this very point, the authority of the Word of God, that has caused so many Christian colleges and universities that were once strong to drift away. So I think the board is saying, we're going to get to the bottom of this, and we're going to find it. If there is somebody, I don't know. I couldn't give you a name. If I had a name, I wouldn't give it to you anyway. You know, wouldn't do that on the air anyway, but I don't have a name to give. So all I'm saying is, these are just allegations, as you said, but they're very, very serious. They go to the heart of Moody's mission. And if there is somebody like that on the faculty, they're going to have to go.
Yeah, and it comes in the wake of other institutions. I know that you said just a second ago that there are other schools, and there has been some concern voiced surrounding Wheaton College, the home of Billy Graham, for goodness sakes, and some of their theological underpinnings with their the gay issue at that campus is called into question. So Moody taking this stance is hopefully a very good marker they're putting down, right?
Well, Moody is, part of it is the history. Part of it's the location. We don't have anything like Moody Bible Institute, a strong evangelical college that old, that been around that long, in the heart of a major American city. So the pressure is going to be on, and that's, Chicago's liberal, right? I mean, I'm talking about the city as a whole. You're talking deep blue state in every way. So the pressure is always going to be on to push you to the left, to cause you, you know, not to take a stand, to sort of whittle off the sharp edges of your Bible doctrine. And I'm not saying Moody has done that, but I am saying the pressure is always going to be on. And it's going to be very hard to maintain your distinctives here in the 21st century. I mean, marriage is called into question. The family is called into question. What does it mean to be male and female? Are we going to stand up for what the Bible says? Or are we going to whittle off or just be quiet about? Are we only going to talk about the stuff everybody agrees on? Or are we going to be willing to take a stand, even if it costs us out in the larger culture? That's part of, I mean, churches are dealing with this. Schools everywhere are dealing with this. That's part of the pressure that Moody is under.
One other question about this, though. I want to move on to the next story here. But does Moody Bible Institute, are they primarily a seminary? Or are they like a liberal arts school? Or what are they exactly?
You're asking about where Moody fits?
Yeah, what's their main purpose? Do they train pastors?
They're not a college, they're not a typical college like Wheaton College or, say, some Belhaven College or something like that. They're not a liberal arts college. It was founded by D.L. Moody to be a training institute for men and women, young men and women, who wanted to spend their lives in Christian service.
Gotcha.
Okay, so that's why it's important. I mean, they've always been training men and women who will be pastors, Christian leaders, missionaries, gotcha. Lead local churches in America and around the world.
And one of the amazing things about Moody, and we can move on, but one of the amazing things about Moody is since its founding in 1883, they have always offered tuition-free education.
Yeah.
Students do not pay a dime to go there. They have to pay for housing. I mean, they have to be responsible for housing. But tuition, Moody does not charge tuition. How they do that in a world now, I don't know.
They have a foundation.
Yeah, I would but guess. They have always done. Yeah. And so the purpose is to get men and women into school and train them in the Bible and get them out into ministry as quickly as possible.
Well, we need to pray for the leadership there. at Moody Bible Institute because of the reasons Ray gave earlier, yep, how important they are, Moody Bible Institute, to Christianity, not both here and abroad, the work they do there in their Chicago home, what do you say, campus.
Right.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Ray Pritchard. Ray's in Dallas. We're in Tupelo. And Steve is in Tupelo to my right, 2 feet to my right. Go ahead,
Steve. I'm right of Tim Wildman. Yeah, that can't be said very often.
That's true.
There's been a battle waged. When President Trump came into office, he was very clear and tweeted out, which is how he announces his policies, that he was going to stop the Petri dish experimentation within the military. The transgenders, accepting of transgenders in the military, he said that's going to be stopped. A court has weighed in on that. It did a couple months ago, saying, no, you can't do that. You have to allow transgenders into the military. So there's a whole battle going on there. And now American Family Association is also weighing in on this. There's an action alert out about this. And we're asking people to go and read about this issue at our webpage. And you probably, or Walker, you probably know more about this too.
Where is that, Walker?
Yes. The President Trump, several months ago, reversed President Obama's executive order, our guidance, which allowed transgenders to serve in the military and have their transition surgeries paid for by the taxpayer dollars. Well, President Trump reversed this, thankfully, but as we mentioned earlier in the show, a federal judge intervened, and a federal judge prevented President Trump's executive order from going into effect and reversed it. So the military is now accepting transgenders and paying for their surgeries, unfortunately.
What do you mean paying for their surgeries? What does that mean? Is that going to get too graphic here? What are you talking about?
Well, our folks know what we're talking about. So,
if you go to be a man from a man to a woman or a woman to a man, there are physical characteristics of men and women that are different.
But very, very few of those people do that, I think. I don't know. What I'm saying is that's a drastic. Most of them. Oh my! I can't believe I'm talking.
Well,
about
and you're saying that the government will pay for.
Yeah,
that,
but they want they want a gender change. Then Walker's saying the government's been paying the Defense Department.
Yes, I mean look at Bradley Manning. Mm-hmm. Bradley Manning,
Chelsea, what he calls himself now.
Yeah, Bradley Manning was in the federal penitentiary, but he had his change paid for by the government. And so, but
in
what
addition
we're asking,
to the surgeries, it takes hormones and all kinds. To pull this off, kind of deception off, takes an awful lot of energy.
Yeah, and it's very, very disgusting and unhealthy at that. It's very unhealthy.
Yeah, that's all we want to talk about. This.
Yeah, but what we're asking to happen is we're asking the Department of Justice, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, to petition the judge for a stay, to appeal, essentially. And if the judge will not grant it, then President Trump needs to issue a fresh executive order and reinstate
that. Right, exactly. The point of our action alert, and you can go to AFA.net.
Right.
Go to AFA.net, and our action alert, you can get it. It says action alerts. What an action alert is from us, we're asking you to take action on this issue. So they can email. I don't know what we're asking for exactly. I've forgotten.
I have the wording if you like.
What is it?
Dear President Trump, I urge you to seek from the United States Supreme Court a stay of the lower court rulings against the executive directive on military service by transgendered individuals. Moving on, allowing the lower court order to stand is an invitation to the judiciary to violate the exclusive constitutional command authority of the executive office of the president. This violation would also create the legal precedent for liberal judges to further weaken military readiness and morale if the court fails to issue a stay. I urge you, Mr. President, to immediately issue a new directive to the Secretaries of Defense and Homeland Security preventing military establishment of individuals who identify as transgender.
There you have it.
Boy, that was good, wasn't I? Right there with that.
Well written.
Okay, so that go and take action. That's what we're saying to help protect our military. I wish more of our military veterans would stand up on this, especially generals and admirals and people like that. But most of them are scared of the backlash they would receive from the media, and it's really going to take them to stand up. Yes, the what do you call us when we're non-military?
Civilian?
Civilian population can do our part, but we really need leadership from military. Now, I know it's hard for people inside the military to get involved in something like this,
right?
Because it involves policy and so forth. They're usually just following commands, but certainly people who've retired, for example, can speak out on these kinds of issues, because what this is ultimately going to do, it is going to degrade our military. I think it's already having an effect. People, I wish some of these social engineering policies have been put in place, like open homosexuality in the military, for example. There's a reason we didn't have that. Okay. Also, now you're talking about open. Now they're pushing for open transgendered. President Obama pushed for this in the military. There's a reason we haven't allowed for that over the history of our military. Military is designed to win wars, right? And whatever gets in the way of that has been dismissed. So you can, you know, so the problem here is that this over time, these kinds of policies will result in a less ready
right
unit.
Yes.
A less ready military over time. It's maybe not going to be an immediate cause and effect, but it will over time degrade the military. And, you know, when I'm seeing things like I saw yesterday, when they're saying we can't find people, the Army's having trouble finding people fit enough.
Yeah, that story came out yesterday, actually.
Having to lower our standards there.
Right.
Just having to lower the standards all the way around. You take men who are young men who want to go into the military, and they think, well, maybe I'm going to have to bunk by a guy who's sexually attracted to me.
Right.
I don't really like that idea very much. I think I'll do something else. You see what I'm saying? Recruiting would be hurt by that kind of thing.
Not to mention, the judge's ruling on military policy is unheard of, traditionally, unheard of in the judiciary.
That's the root of the whole problem. The judiciary has started to take on the role of lawmakers.
Right.
Abe Hamilton last night on Hamilton's Corner he went off, and it was brilliant what he said about this. Probably you can catch – I don't know if we podcast those or not.
Yes.
But last night's Hamilton Corner really talked about this in detail.
There's a reason, too, constitutionally, why the President of the United States is also referred to as what?
Commander-in-Chief.
Commander-in-Chief.
That's right.
The Commander-in-Chief. He has authority over the United States military. Anyway, we'll see what happens with that. But you got these liberal, far-left – judges, federal judges, intervening in all these situations. We've talked about this before. And it's creating constitutional problems for us. We've got 30 seconds.
This is from the Snowflake Files.
Hey, 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 Snowflake.
University of Madison, Wisconsin, known as a liberal bastion there, has a complaint department where they take complaints about these things, about different offenses. Here's some of the offenses. A white female student was glaring at another Asian student for about a half an hour in the library over her phone. We don't want that. And then, I feel I need to get this off my mind. Around 2 p.m. yesterday, I went to Garden Market to get some lunch, and the French toast was burnt. I'm an Asian female student. That was a complaint lodged with their discrimination
board. Is that racist? So they say in the
burnt
French
toast? Burnt toast? The student thought it was.
It's just bad. It's just bad.
But are the French racist for their toast being
well,
burned?
Well, no, the French aren't.
Okay. Well, you never know in
just
this world.
Just don't burn the toast, right?
That's right.
Don't burn it.
Thanks, Ray. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tim.
Well, thanks to Walker, Brent Creeley, our producer, Steve Jordahl, and Fred Jackson. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow for Trivia Friday tomorrow.